And so there was other things in it.
About reading books, about learning about sculpture.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think where it started. I guess it pretty much started there. It started with, that God had really... that's the one. That's the first time I had the thing where God had really meant for me to be a sculptor rather than a painter. And I always... in my whole life, done more paintings than sculpture. But anyway, that I was really supposed to be a sculptor, and that eventually, and this thing never happened, eventually I was supposed to move to Tucson and teach in a Subud school that certain people in Subud had founded. And I received the names of one of them, the one who was supposed to help do it. But I'm not going to repeat it because they didn't do it. that these people were supposed to start a Subud school there, that they, and I did find out later, because later some people in Subud in education said that they had researched it and that Arizona would be the most favorable state for them to have started a Subud school in, but it never happened. So I spent my life for years planning that I would eventually move to Tucson and live there. I mean, that's what I thought I would do. That's where I thought I'd be in Tucson in my old age. But the school never happened. And then the other thing that we received was that it was sort of like the big thing in my life somehow, was that I was supposed to do this whole series of sculptures of holy women, but that I couldn't do them until I was older because I had to become at least somewhat more like a holy woman myself, so that I couldn't do them when I was young. I had to wait till I was old to do them. But I think I was really only supposed to wait till I was about 60, not till I was 80.
Better late than never, I guess.
So
there's a quality of understanding maybe a little bit where they were coming from by having that in your own life, so that you can apply that to the portraits, the sculptures of holy women.
Right, but I want to go back to the school thing, because for it was sort of like troubling, because that was supposed, something that was supposed to happen and it didn't happen. And I also got to feeling guilty about the holy women. You know, the time has passed and I'm not doing this and I probably ought to be doing this. And so somehow I ultimately received that, look, this is how it is. What you saw back then was like God's ideal plan for your life. But even if God has an ideal plan for your life, it may not happen because events in the world change things. And there were other people, like the people who were supposed to start school, who don't do it, who were like supposed to do it, but they don't do it. And so things don't work out, you know, even if you saw your life in advance, it's not going to work out exactly like that. And so, because I felt guilty like, oh, you know, this is how my life is supposed to be, and this isn't really quite how it is. So it's like God says, no, this is how the world is, you know. Things happen in the world. And people don't do what they ought to do, and this is how it is.
And this is where we are now.
Yeah, so I was okay with it after that. But I did feel like, well, I better do it, and I was feeling guilty that I hadn't done it. And at some point, the international helpers were traveling around the East Coast. I was an East Coast helper at the time. Oh, that's a different story. I have to tell you about that. But anyway, as an East Coast helper, we traveled for a while with the international helpers. And we were down in Raleigh-Durham, and I asked them to test with me about that because I had, at this age now, I mean, I have a shoulder and two knees because of arthritis. And I had even received originally that some of them were supposed to be carved and sewn, and some of them were supposed to be hammered metal. And I'm like, at this point, I can't do hammered metal, and I can't use an air hammer to carve stone. And so, you know, maybe I just waited too long. And I tested with the international helpers, and we all got, you really have to do these holy women, but do them in whatever works. You know, it doesn't have to be exactly like you received in that original Lottie-Hunt. Oh, and when I told about the original Lottie, I didn't tell you that when we said the names, we said, you know, I had to do Mary, and I had to do Fatima, and I had to do Ibu Sumari, and Rahana Wadi, and Rahayu. And we all were saying those names. We were all saying Rahayu. And at the end of the Lottie-Hunt, we all were like, have you ever heard of anyone named Rahayu? None of us had heard of it, because she was still young at the time, and she had no role in Subud at all, and so we had never heard of her. We had heard of Rahanawati, and we knew Ibu Sumari, and even Rahanawati for a little bit traveled around with Bapak very early, but she died very early. So that was a surprising thing, is that we received the name of someone we'd never heard of, and that all three of us received it. And it was really good that the other two people were there, because it always like confirms this is really a true experience, because all three of us had this experience.
You're not the crazy one, in other words.
I guess so.
Yeah, in other words, that's the way I phrase it. When you get validation from outside of you, especially in such a holy moment as that, right?
Yeah, and that it's some whole life project kind of thing.
Yeah, and so that you were talking about the materials, and then you got the okay to do materials that were outside of the
original. Well, so then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, since, and I'm not supposed to lift heavy things and do really hard work with the shoulder, like too much hammering or things like that. So I thought about it, and I thought my options are clay or wax. And I researched some different things about, you know, like where you could take classes or whatever. But Glen Echo, which is this Chautauqua park, ultimately, had like a guy who has clay sculpture classes. And so that's what I did. And it's not very expensive, and it's near where I live. You know, it's just a little drive away. So that's what I did. I signed up to do that because then I knew I would have to be there 3 hours on Thursday afternoon, etc. And he's real flexible. He also teaches an evening class, and if you like think you're not going to get things done by the end for when they're going to fire things, you can come in the evening as well, even without paying for it. And he doesn't tell the people that run the park, and he doesn't care.
And so you start creating these sculptures of holy women.
Yeah. So, but he's really teaching a class. He teaches people, he has them first do a skull so they know the face, and then he has them do a head. And then he always has a nude life model. And so then he has them do the life model. But I'm over in the corner sitting at a table doing holy women, which I, you know, basically told him I had this old project of my own I was going to do. And so he's fine with that. And he occasionally gives me a comment like, I don't know, about something, you know, maybe their eyes are different than that. Because I have these photos, for a lot of my head photos. The one that's hard is Rahanawati, because their Indonesia cameras were not common at that time, and she was only in the West with Subud members for a small amount of time. So there's very, very few pictures of her. And most of the ones they aren't very good either. They're blurry, so...